Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
You're listening to Hashtag No Filter on Revolver. Hi guys, and welcome to episode 88 of Hashtag No Filter. This episode, oh my gosh, I mentioned this on my Instagram stories last week, I think. This was kind of like a therapy session. Wasn't scripted that way. Wasn't planned for it. That wasn't a plan. But the direction the episode took, I mean, this is definitely like the most vulnerable I've gotten on a podcast episode and could be one of the deeper podcast episodes out of the last 87 of them. And oh my gosh, it was so good. So this interview is with Ali Nahda. Ali Nahda is the founder of Connective Consulting, which is a creative agency based in Chicago. This is not your normal creative agency. It is so beyond a creative agency. As I say to Ali on the podcast, I'm like, so you're basically also therapists, but they're helping their clients with their personal brand. But their approach to it is just so refreshing and one I have not seen in all the creative agencies I've talked to, dealt with, you know, worked with. And it's truly, like I said, refreshing. And it's their authenticity, their passion behind it. It's so, you're going to hear it in Ali's voice. You're going to hear it in this conversation. It's pretty remarkable. I met Ali over Zoom with two other girls at our office a few weeks ago. And then I was like, I need to have this girl on the podcast. Like, done. Need to have you on the podcast. And here we are. It was an hour-long episode that was so enjoyable. I love Ali's story. It is so inspiring. And I love this woman. She's amazing. I tell her in voice notes often during the week that I'm obsessed with you. But you're going to fall in love with her. She's unbelievable. And we have a lot of similarities. We've both been divorced. We had some similarities in terms of kind of not career paths, but a little bit, but more about like how and why we got into what we're doing. And there's just a lot of crossover, and it was just a really good conversation. So like I said, part of it is a therapy session where I get real and Ali pulls it out of me. And we talked about so many different things, you know, about personal branding and your passion and your purpose and you know, how your past really, really can affect the trajectory of your life moving forward, and imposter syndrome and perfection and so much pendulum swings, you know, the importance of the heartbeat of a brand, connection in general, and so much more. And I could give an intro on this, on Ali and this conversation forever. So I should stop so this intro isn't that long. But anyway, I think you're gonna love it. Enjoy this episode. If you are subscribed to Patreon, get excited because there are bonus clips that are just available on Patreon. If you're not subscribed to Patreon, be sure to sign up or check out the different tiers at patreon.com/JulieLauren. And without further ado, here's Ali Nahda on episode 88 of Hashtag No Filter.
Welcome to Hashtag No Filter, Ali.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Julie.
I'm so excited you're here. We're not here. We're not together. But I'm so excited you're on the podcast right now.
I am thrilled. Like the moment that the introduction happened to you, I instantly knew that we were going to be friends. So
yeah, 1,000%. Do you like that? I think it's funny that I emailed you after we had a phone call and I emailed you and I was like, do you guys drink wine? Like if you don't, God forbid. And you're like, yes, Julie.
I mean, and like if I had said no, first of all, you should not have me on your podcast. And second of all, we could not be friends, right? That would just be really strange to be friends with someone who doesn't drink wine.
Correct. Exactly my point. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm so excited to hear. So before we get into all the questions, and guys, this might be a little bit of a juicy episode because we have lots of not just professional things to talk about, but personal stuff that we relate on. But first, can you give everyone a little background, who you are, what you do, how you got to where you are in a nutshell?
Oh, yeah. Who am I? you know, I'm born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I moved to Chicago about a little over 5 years ago. I was working for Lululemon. Lululemon brought me out here, and the company is incredible. Like that was when they asked me to come out here, it was a given that I would. And so I was out here running. It's spearheading digital strategy for Lululemon for the region of Chicago. And in the midst of me working for an incredibly mindful company, it became really evident that all areas of my life weren't as mindful. I was raised by a single mom. She's very, very, very hardworking, really had, you know, a difficult childhood. Right? Like I was forced to grow up, I think, a little faster than you traditionally would at that age. And it set me up for success. It did set me up for success. But there are still, you know, parts of my past that also hold me back. But because of my past, I ended up getting married to someone who really didn't align with 100% who I am as a human, and who I wanted to be and who I wanted to become. And so in the midst of me working for an incredibly mindful company, that became even more evident. And in the midst of me really falling in love with my job and what I did for Lululemon, it became even that much more evident. So I went through a pretty rough divorce that was stretched out much longer than it needed to be. And in the midst of me going through that, I decided with like $15 to my name that it would be really awesome to start a business. Mm-hmm. And if I was,
as one does,
if
as
I was
one
already does. Uncomfortable, I just needed to get a little bit more uncomfortable. And so I moved into like a 300 or like 400 square foot, felt like 300 or maybe even 200 square foot apartment, right? In Lakeview, and really went from having a boat in Chicago and living in a luxury high rise building to that. So there, every area of my life was really uncomfortable. And in the midst of me being really uncomfortable, I started that business. And in less than two months, actually, we had over 15 monthly retainered clients. And fast forward to today, Connective Consulting, our creative agency, has impacted over 250 brands. So
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So it's talking about it, it's really quite crazy. You know, me talking about it now, I lead with my story and I lead with who I am. And I really do truly tell it how it is. But sometimes, depending on the days that I talk about it, depending on how the business is and how my relationships are, it can be either easier or it can be harder. But I do definitely, I am grateful for my story, and I help others tell their story through our creative agency. So right. That is my passion. That is my purpose today. And we have, you know, 10 team members, a full-time chief creative officer who's absolutely incredible. She's like my biz partner and a very good friend. And so, yeah, it's, you know, I wouldn't change anything, but I think that still as an entrepreneur, I struggle with this balance of success in entrepreneurship and success in relationships at the same time. So
like in tandem.
In tandem. Yeah. So that's really, yeah, that's me. That's me, Julie.
Wow. I mean, you like when I heard this story the first time on the phone last week, I was blown away, like $15 to your name, starting this business, going through this divorce. So, oh my, okay. There's so many things I want to talk about.
The part that I like didn't say too, by the way, is not only did I like have $15 in my bank account at all times, a lot of times it actually was negative 15. But I had debt, like a lot of debt. So it was negative, you know, 15,000 plus. So the $15 really wasn't even mine, to be honest.
Wow. I mean, it's so inspiring because what you've built. So I guess first, can you talk a little bit more about Connective Consulting, just so people understand what that is? Because I was so blown away when we talked about it on your, well, you talk about it and then I'll explain. I want you to explain it and then I'll talk about why I loved it so much.
Yeah. So Connective Consulting is a creative agency. We are rooted in personal brand integration and intentional marketing. Our approach is really unlike any other. We are not a niche agency per the industries that we focus on. We are a niche agency through our formula for success. And that formula for success for all brands and businesses, both personal brands, right, influencers, and larger corporations, really, really comes from being extraordinarily rooted in your brand and that brand's message and that brand's objective and that brand's desire for impact. And so also as a brand or as a business, we have people that we are either in collaboration with or that help make up that organization to further that business's success. So how we incorporate them within the brand is also equally as important. We hire people and we collaborate with people for very specific reasons, and we should be leaning in to who they are over what they do or what their role is. And that is really ultimately what we teach, is to totally lean into who you are over what you do. We have workshops that we recently launched under the umbrella of the Accidental Influencer. So I love the play on hashtag no filter, because what really is an influencer, right? And the accidental influencer approach comes from really this curriculum that we've built out over the last 4 years of being, you know, an agency. And it started with me getting really, really clear on my personal brand, and the success of our business didn't happen. The business didn't even begin until I became really rooted and very clear in my offerings, my impact, and my personal brand. So and it's just crazy the difference that it makes when you lead with your heart over the transaction, and the scarcity that begins to fade away when you do so, and the abundance that kicks in. So we teach that, and I'm passionate about it. You heard it on our, you know, our first intro call, like it lights me the fuck up.
And you can tell, like, so we're not on video right now because then we didn't do video, but on our call, we were on video, and you can tell when you're talking about it, how passionate you are and how authentically passionate you are. And I think that's what blew me away. So when I started saying, tell us more about Connective Consulting, one of the reasons I was so like, oh my God, because I've never really had a conversation, and I've had a lot of conversations with different creative agencies, the authenticity behind you guys, if you can like feel it, and and you can't always feel that, because a lot of these people are just, you know, it's about the money, it's about the, you know, it's not coming from the core of the person.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's the opposite, right? It's like 80% you and 20% what you do. And how you go into collaborating and relationship that really ultimately shapes the trajectory of your success. It's, you know, like, let's take, I just gave this example the other night, right? In our very first workshop called Activate, it's 4 weeks long, you know, it's like $550, a super digestible price, and you get lots of information. It's really our discover session that we normally do one-on-one in 3 hours. It's that, but spread over the course of 4 weeks and live with me. And so one of the examples that I used is I said, you know, we're very rooted in passion and purpose, and passion and purpose is your personal brand. what's really great about passion and purpose is that it doesn't matter where your money source comes from. If you are rooted in your purpose and you really utilize your passions in a non-transactional way, the outcome of that is greater than any, you know, algorithm, ad, networking event, anything else that you could possibly do when it comes to marketing you. And so one of the examples that I gave is when it comes to passion, it's really important to identify the difference between, you know, what you're passionate about in your doing and what you're just truly passionate about. And that's non-transactional. So let's take Beauty Counter for an example, right? Like the idea is someone comes to me and they say, hey, Al, I want to grow my social media presence. And I want to sell more Beauty Counter through social media. And I go on their account and I see that literally every single thing that's on their account is Beauty Counter. Now, am I going to want to talk to Karen who sells Beauty Counter? Yes or no. If right. That's the only thing she leads with. Probably no.
Because it's very salesy. It's very, right?
That's super sales forward. But instead, if Karen were to come to me and say, hey, Allie, you know, my passion is to sell Beauty Counter, I would counter that with, no, Karen, what I'm hearing from you is that you're passionate about women feeling really confident and comfortable in their skin. Is that something that you desire? Yes or no? She's going to say yes. And then I'm going to say, where does that come from? And it's probably a past experience. And our purpose comes from what we know, what we do, and how we want to serve the world. So I'm going to say, hey, Karen, did you maybe not feel super confident and great about yourself at one point in your life? And she's going to say, yeah, I felt that my entire childhood. And I say, okay, so what do you know now? Oh, I went to school to be an esthetician and I just really enjoy Beauty Counter. Or I came across Beauty Counter and it changed my life. Okay, so right. You use Beauty Counter. That's what you do. And now you've started to sell it. And you're allowing women to feel, you're offering women, something that makes them feel absolutely incredible in their skin because you didn't have that. It doesn't matter, though, if you sell Beauty Counter or if you sell Arbonne. The thing that stays consistent is that you ultimately, your large purpose that you have on this world or in this world is to really help women feel truly confident in their skin.
Right. That is such a good example and it makes so much sense. And so why is it, do you think that people, whether it's influencers, you know, people trying to start their own brand of some kind, why is it that so many, it doesn't feel like it's coming from, like, do they just not know, like, to not just make it so salesy? Do they not know to, like, look inward? Like, I feel like your agency is part therapy.
honestly, Julie, it really is. And to be really honest, because there's no filter here.
Right.
I just think that more people than not act and do from a place of scarcity. And when you're already completely scared, when you're scared and you're already completely in the place of, okay, let me go back. When you're in the place of when I started the business, there is like no other way to go than up. The thing that you maybe avoided or did certain things out of scarcity so that you were never there, you're now there. You're now there. So there's no other way to go. So what I really do and what the agency really does is we provoke in those discover sessions, in our initial conversations with our brands and businesses, we really provoke the original thought of, you know, why the business needs to exist, what the problem or the solution is within the business or the brand. And a lot of times that comes from peeling back all of those layers. And it's very much rooted in, again, you know, what you know, what you do, and how you want to serve the world, right? So I really think we, more than not, especially in a commission role, scarcity is evident. And your client or your consumer or your network can feel that. It's just wild to me. It's wild, the shift. You know, I've got a girlfriend who's really, I went to high school with her. She's probably one of the most successful, you know, by my terms, coming out of high school. And I've stayed, you know, connected, and I've followed her journey. She works for Isagenix. She's really young, but she's one of the top, you know, she's one of the top leaders in the biz for Isagenix. And it's because if you go to her Instagram, you literally do not see Isagenix anywhere. Right. She's living her best life, her most authentic life. She shares her heart. She shares her relationship. She shares her transformation. And she does it so much in a way that it evokes and it inspires versus, you know, it sells. And so it inevitably, when people come across her account, they're going to want to say, what are you doing? How have you found this happiness, this financial freedom? Tell me more, you know?
Right.
So it's almost like don't give away everything and build that relationship from the very first moment, because that is going to be the most important, that's going to be the most important attribute of that potential sale, is that relationship.
Right. And if they fall in love with you and what your story, then they'll buy the products, right?
Anything that you sell, they'll buy everything you sell. They'll buy your freaking used Kleenex if they love who you are, you know? And they love your heart. So we've got to build that trust first, right? And we don't do that by having the very first interaction with a human being a price tag.
Right. Exactly. It's so true. And when you break it down like that, it's like, duh, like why are, you know, but like, it's not duh to, you know, it's not when you look at these Instagram pages. And so how much would you say your life experience, you said, you know, you had the rough times, you had the horrible divorce, and you already said how, you know, working at Lululemon, you realized like you weren't being as mindful and you kind of had all these realizations. How much do you feel like your divorce and the hard times really shaped, you know, kind of where your life, like the trajectory of your life and where you are now? Like, do you feel if it wasn't for that divorce, it wasn't for the hard things, you wouldn't be where you are right now?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like, without a doubt. And like, Julie, I know you're an open book. So let's go through this really quick. I would love to like workshop through this, because I think that this example is really important for people to see in order to really have that like aha, right? And so let's do this. So, you know, tell me something that you know, right? This is one of the areas, right?
I feel like we're like doing a whole thing right now.
So tell me something that you know. A lot of times what you know really comes from a place of your past. So tell me something that you know. Tell me a couple things that you know.
Like in terms of like work related or just life related?
Life related. So your parents were extraordinarily giving. And that was something that you saw. Or your parents were extremely hardworking and that was something that you saw. So things that you know, and they really come from your past.
Right. That I was very fortunate, not in a, it just doesn't matter, I'm not putting any opinions out, but I was very fortunate with my upbringing and what my parents were able to provide for me.
Yeah.
And that has provided, like, I'm beyond grateful, and I realize that as I get older and older, even more so. That would be one thing. My parents are still married after almost 40 years. And so I know what a happy marriage looks like. Uh-huh. There's that. Or a fulfilling marriage, you know, whatever word you want to use there. Uh-huh. I've moved 14 times, and I've learned a lot about people, friends, friendships, the difference in, you know, opinions and how to kind of honor everyone's different opinions and where they come from. And, you know, I'm still working on it, but like listening better and really like taking in their side, not getting defensive. I just feel like through all my experience with all these different people I've met along the way, it's kind of shaped in and is still shaping me. Does that answer it?
Yeah. Well, okay. So then go back to this really quick. Cause actually we're on to something here, but let's go back to this first before I ask the second question. So, when you said that, the defensiveness thing stood out to me, right? There an attribute or is there an attribute of yourself that, you don't maybe entirely like, or you could do without that's related to defensiveness? Yeah.
So you're basically now my therapist. Woo! Because now
I'm gonna... personal brand, baby. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. Because the deep is what creates leverage for you to change the dynamic. So if you're sitting there saying, oh my God, I need to change my content because my awareness isn't, you know, or my engagement isn't up. I'm saying, no, you need to like discover yourself again so that you are super freaking clear on your offering so that 2 years down the line, knock on wood, another pandemic happens, right, you don't feel like you need to do an entire rebrand. Like you are just so rooted in it. So, okay. So defensiveness, right. Let's go back to the defensiveness. Right? Yeah. We don't want to derail from you. So there is a tendency within you. When did you start to realize that?
Probably not. I would say probably not till I got older, but I would say, I mean, it probably goes back to, you know, it could be 10 years ago when I had a pretty serious boyfriend when I was living in Boston. I think there were some things there. I don't remember details, but like that, it could be over a decade ago that I started.
Okay. So what did it look like for you in that experience of like the defensiveness? Like, where did that come from? Like, where did that...
That's what, you know, it's funny. I think about it and something that stood out, and maybe there's a connection here. When we were on our call last week and you were asking me what I did and I was talking to you and a couple of the girls and I'm like, oh, I do this, but I kept putting myself down. And one of you said, it might've been, I don't know who said it, but you were like, I hear some imposter syndrome. I think that's a major, like major part. My mom is always telling me you put yourself down all the time.
Who did you hear that from though? That came from somewhere. So that is something that, you know, is imposter syndrome or self-doubt. It's like very, very evident, right? So did that come from that relationship or did that actually come before that relationship? And then it was maybe like exacerbated in that relationship.
You know, I think it might have come, well, actually could have, God, it really could have been that relationship or before. I think, I don't know when, I always thought I was a very confident person, you know, very sure of myself. Again, I moved a lot. Like I learned to be very adaptable and something happened over the years. It could have been from that 10 year ago relationship where I don't know if I started doubting myself or like thinking I wasn't good enough or, you know, I don't know.
And I've been, I mean, you're barely talking about that relationship. So I have no idea how this guy,
it was honestly, I was 20, I was like 21 or 20, you know, it was a year and a half relationship.
Yeah.
And it was a normal, fine relationship. Well, I say that, but it obviously wasn't, but when we broke up, it turned very toxic and it wasn't even the relationship. Although during the relationship, he would put me down. Like I worked in fashion. So I read Vogue and he was reading The Economist and, you know, there'd be comments like, oh, you know, like you're reading Vogue. Yeah, I'm fucking reading Vogue. Like, so, you know, I think maybe there were things there that stood out to me. Like, you know, both his parents went to law school, Harvard and Columbia, and my parents who were very fine and successful and great, but like they didn't go to law school. You know, there were just things that
you really forgot to like add in that key factor though. You say you worked in fashion?
Yeah.
So you have literally seen like perfection. You digested perfection like on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like, that was your breakfast, lunch and dinner. Like you saw that all the time.
Right.
And then you had, you know, and then you had this, what seemingly felt like a very perfect family/boyfriend. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And so then like that just started to kind of creep in. So here's what's really crazy about that. So that's like, that's something that you know, and something that you do or you did even is like, you know, working in fashion, whatnot. The overlap even then. So then after fashion, give me that, Give me that timeline.
That's when I started. Well, I was working with a woman who had a lifestyle brand, kind of running everything for her. But at that time, I also started my lifestyle or fashion and lifestyle blog, wrote my book. I started kind of doing more creative things for me, things that I was passionate about. You know, and yeah, it's, that's when that started. And then I started taking on clients and then eventually starting my own, you know, doing my own thing between my podcast, my writing, and my clients.
And was that after that was after that breakup?
Yes, I still worked in fashion during that time. And then after the breakup, I think I still worked in fashion for another like 4 years, maybe three years, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a perfectionist. I really don't, but I don't really know what it is, but I have a really close friend in my life and he's always like, you're good how you are, like, you know, and so it's not like just my mom who has said this. So I don't know, maybe there's something there.
Yeah. And I mean, you help other people like look, here's what's really funny too, is that then all of a sudden, so that's like what, you know this stuff, right? Like this is like, that comes from your relationship. And then the same question that you asked me, right? Do you think that the success of your business came from, you know, that divorce? And the answer is yes. What's really, you know, yeah, I mean, these things all coexist. And that's like ultimately what I'm trying to get to, right? So what you know is, you know, you worked in fashion, you did see, you know, perfection. You probably internalized a little bit of that. You had a relationship that drew out that side of you. Because, you know, there's people that draw out not the best version of us.
Right.
Or there are people that draw out the best version of us at all times. Right. And so at this time, particularly in correlation with what you were already doing, you know, career-wise doing, you had relationships that really exacerbated something that was like already there, right? And something that maybe was like seeded and had been there, but it added fuel to that flame, right? That like tiny flame. And so ultimately you came out of that and that has shaped your trajectory for your business. Now, you know, we know what you're doing. People that listen to your podcast know who you are, right? But explain what you're doing, like just so I can like round robin. So you've got your podcast and other aspect of your business. Just do that so I can bring it full circle.
Oh yeah. So I have a podcast and then I have, I sometimes write articles for my website and then I work with clients on their, you know, digital marketing needs, whether that's email marketing, podcast management, content creation, web, you know, design and really anything under the digital marketing umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's super interesting that from you going from fashion that you actually veered away into a more, more transparent, right? Like a more authentic light, like fashion. And we know the fashion world is, you know, well, we just, we know, right?
Yeah.
The fashion world can make you feel really, really shitty about yourself. And so you went in the direction so much so almost completely like a 180, and you have a podcast now called #NoFilter. So you went from working in fashion, a very overly filtered industry, while being very like shitty about yourself in your relationship, to this. Now, here's what I also want to know. In the midst of you going into this next relationship or whatever, and then going through what you're going through.
My divorce, like my marriage?
Yeah.
When
was that? How far after that relationship was that?
Let me think. So we broke up in 2000. I would say it was 18, 19, 20. 3 years later is when I reconnect, because I knew him growing up, reconnected with my ex-husband. And then we, you know, long distance for a little while, then engaged a year later. We basically were together, I think, 7 or 8 total years, married 6.
Was he totally, totally different than the guy that you were in the relationship with for 6 years?
Oh my God, you couldn't even compare the two.
Opposite. So, oh my God, this is what's crazy. Okay, so with the guy that you were in a 6-year relationship with, was he like, he seemed like my ex-husband and him would be really great friends. Like their parents, we should connect them. They'd be best friends.
We should.
They, you know, his parents were very established. His dad owned a business, family of six, you know, very, I thought I wanted to be that, like very Pottery Barn. Right. I was like, oh my God,
right.
Pottery Barn. You know, what's so crazy is like, I can't even step foot in a Pottery Barn. It like makes me like my gag reflexes kick in. And so then I walk right over to West Elm, which are, they're sisters, but they're also very opposite, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So yeah, I mean, it's really funny how that works, but you know, I felt a lot of insecurity, and if that insecurity, I was overweight. I actually, you know, it's really crazy, Julie, we are so similar. So I went to school, finish college, but I went to school, community college, Grand Rapids Community College for fashion. And
you did?
I didn't finish school. I got into Columbia for journalism. So I just like love writing and all things creative. And my whole family was like, be a doctor, be a lawyer. I was like, hell no. I'm like, I can't pick up a textbook. I'm dyslexic. I'm like, I'm on, you know, right, I'm on 70 milligrams of Vyvanse, and I can't even, you know, I read one paragraph and I'm like, what did I just read? You know,
so right.
I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer. So I love creative outlets. I applied to FITM. You know,
wow.
I actually got in, but I couldn't afford it with a single mom, and that's okay, 'cause that wasn't my path, you know, but I started a fashion magazine. I wanted to.
What?
I started a extremely local fashion magazine called A La Mode, not the ice cream, but like, you know, current trend in French terms. Mm-hmm. And then it was 100 pages every quarter, you know, in like publication for those of you guys, you know, in you know, editorial publication, like it's expensive. There are so many aspects that go into that, and printing. And back then it wasn't like the digital thing wasn't the way to go. Like it had to be printed in order to like establish rapport, and credit. Right. So I started a fashion magazine. I became, you know, I totally poured myself into that. I was overweight. I was not totally confident in, I didn't finish
school. You were overweight. You're like the hottest thing. Have you seen her Instagram, guys?
Shut up. No, I was like 175 pounds, almost 200 pounds. Oh, and you know what's really crazy is that's when I said yes to my ex-husband. That's when he proposed and I said yes. And there were so many things that I really looked at his family and I was like, God, your family is perfect. And I felt really insecure about his family being really perfect. But for some reason, I felt like because I didn't come from an extraordinarily perfect family that I needed to have that. It was like really, really, really important for me to have that, for me to have the home that people wanted to come over to, for me to not move every year of my life like I did, you know, with my, I'm sorry, mom, I know you did the best that I can when you hear this. I know you did the best I can. She's a stellar human being and like, I mean, extremely hot, but you know, I just, that's where I get it from. Right. But,
yes.
But like, I like needed that because I didn't have that. So that became really, really important to me. And, but it added to my insecurity because I was like, oh God, how am I going to live up to this? How am I going to live up to this standard? You know? And his like family didn't drink. So I should have taken that as a red flag.
That should have been a fucking red flag.
I have to drink a bottle of wine before Thanksgiving in my car in order to just go in and be in conversation with you. Like that, I have to sneak in a mini bottle of Patron to the family weddings. Like this is what is happening.
I love
here.
You.
So I, yeah. And that's when I said yes. And I lost all of this weight right before my wedding. And that's when I really started to doubt myself. And actually that's when I got my job with Lululemon. I had applied for a job with Lululemon when I was overweight and I didn't get it. And I came back to buy pants for myself. And then they were like, wait a second. Who are you? You're like a totally different person. And I was so
wait, sick. this is why you said you didn't feel good about yourself once you lost the weight?
No, I didn't feel good about myself at all when I said yes in my marriage. And then I had a wedding to prep for and I needed to look hot in a dress. Duh.
Right.
So I started to lose weight. And then the moment my wedding was right around the corner, I got a job at Lululemon. Even though I had interviewed when I was overweight, I didn't get it then. I actually went in to buy myself a pair of workout pants when I was like, you know, looking better than I did the first time you saw me. And then I they asked me to come in for an interview and I got the job with them. And then I, you know, got married and leading up to the days before getting married. And I was, you know, I had lost all of this weight and I felt really great about myself. I was a different person. Mm-hmm. Not only did my divorce really shape me, to be honest with you, my fitness journey and how that impacted me mentally and physically really also shaped my trajectory. Like what I put in my body, what I consumed, you know, the level in which I moved my body, really, they were all very directly correlated, hence me working for Lululemon. So like that, I was a really different person. And then I had started to recognize some narcissistic tendencies that really came out in a very different way than when I was overweight. When I was like skinny and feeling great, not even just skinny. I don't even want to say that. That's stupid because I'm all about body image, but fit. Like I was fit, like mentally and physically.
You felt good.
I felt awesome.
Right.
So that is like that. And then moving to Chicago and moving away from my family and his family, it started to become really evident that I was a very different person than when I said yes. So, you know,
you and I are the same person. Like I have chills. I'm going to start crying. Like everything is the exact things that I've been. This is wild. Yeah,
so,
I get it.
Yeah. And so like, so even my relationship now, my boyfriend now, exact opposite of my ex-husband, like the exact opposite, because I said, I can't do that. Perfectionism.
Right. That, wow. I mean, when you said the weight thing, like last year, or probably kind of in the past 2 years, I gained 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eventually do a whole podcast on this whole thing, I think, but I gained 35 pounds. I've lost basically all of it by this point. And people are like, how? I'm like, well, get divorced in a pandemic.
Oh my God. That's what I was saying. Everyone's like, how are you 9% body fat? I went a little extreme, but 9% body fat. I don't want to stay at home. So I do SoulCycle in the morning. I do boot camp in the middle of the day and I run at night. And then I go to bed.
But you're happy doing that. Like you enjoy it. Like you're happy doing that, right?
That was the only thing that I like had enjoyed though at that point. You know, was that.
That's right. And I, you know, it's funny. I felt like for me, and I know I'm all about body image, like feel good in your own skin. I wish I could feel good at any size. And for me, if I don't feel good in my own skin, if I don't feel lighter, I am not myself. It's just who I am. I wish I could say that I could be 30 pounds overweight and be fine, but I can't. Like it's just not for me. So I lost all this weight. I'm still losing. I'm still like toning up. I work out 6 days a week and my whole, and this is all going on during pandemic, during divorce, during other shit. And I've also never been in the best place in my life mentally ever. And I am divorced. I'm 34 and divorced. I live alone. You know, all these things. I cry still a lot. I still have a lot of shit going on. But it's like when my ex-husband, Matthew, who is the greatest human, and I saw him last night, we're on great terms. When we got engaged, when I said yes, I was a completely different person than I am now. And it's so clear why we didn't end up making it. And it's not because he's a bad person or we even had any issues, really. But I was a completely different person than I am now. I didn't know myself. I wasn't confident. I mean, there's so much. So it just makes so much sense what you just said.
About And so like, then to like go back to that though, you know, your experiences, AKA the what you know, right? And the things, it doesn't have to be at age five, childhood. It could just be within the years that truly start to shape the mindset. At 21 years old, you're still... Your mindset, your mind, your brain is like, it's everything, right? It dictates everything. So, you know, how you were back when you were 21, working for a very cutthroat industry, really, you know, maybe even kind of in a subconscious way, set you up to be in the relationship that you were in at 21,
right,
to feel the things that you felt during that relationship and through those early 20s, and then to say, holy shit, hell no to that type of person, and then go in a completely opposite direction. Now, here's what comes with the completely opposite direction, though. The completely opposite direction can sometimes mean that the person that you're dating might not fully understand why there is no differentiator between your work and what you do and your heart. They're totally aligned. And when they are totally aligned, that's your purpose.
Damn. Yeah.
Right? And
that, so 1,000%.
I can't say, oh my God, let's go for drinks at 5 because I just clocked out. My heart doesn't clock out. I hope to God my heart doesn't clock out. My heart doesn't clock out.
Right.
And what I do is a direct reflection of my heart. So there is no turning that off. When you feel that way, you know you are in your purpose. That is a pulse check for your purpose.
Wow. I just got chills. That's so fucking true. When your heart doesn't check out, that is your purpose.
That is your purpose. And so what happens is, you know, Julie, I would love to know, because you are so transparent. This guy is amazing. Yeah. And my guy right now is really amazing. But you went in, you did the pendulum swing. We all do the pendulum. The culture does pendulum swings. Politics does pendulum. So it's always a pendulum swing, right? There's like, we go from one extreme to another. So you got into a relationship with someone probably who was like really extremely loving. Like it didn't feel as
beyond
cold. Like his favorite thing was you, his passion was you. And you were kind of like, well, why, you know, and like a little distant to that probably. Right. And so what did he do? What was his job?
For work, he was a home builder, and now he works in the audio video industry. So he was also kind of in a creative industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And even so, if you went from, you know, an Ivy League family to someone like this, who is the exact opposite, there is probably a lot more love, right? You go from a pit bull to a golden retriever. And it's a different, it's just a totally different dynamic, right? I would say that my boyfriend now is just so much more filled by love. He doesn't live to work, he works to live. And I actually hate that analogy for the exact reason that I said prior to this, that I do honestly feel like if you are 100% aligned with your purpose, you don't need to check out.
You know? Do you mean even from the standpoint of like, you're answering emails at midnight?
No.
Okay, good.
I just mean the heartbeat for what you do you need to dial that out. You don't need to shut that off. It's still ingrained in your conversations at happy hour, right? And you talk about those things because it lights you up. No, oh my gosh. Like I'm actually a pretty awful person at boundaries, but I've gotten a lot better as one of our clients is Tony Robbins. Like we do work for
it's amazing.
And some people on his leadership team. And so, you know, like people, it really actually did change my life going to Tony Robbins. But what's really funny is I was helping one of his national speakers grow her brand prior to having ever experienced like the fullness of and being fully submersed in the Tony Robbins world. And when I was like, oh, I get it. Like I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid, like I'm swimming in it. And and it really, really, really allowed me to relinquish a lot of the things that have held me back and held me back in the way of there, you know, because of certain self-doubts and because of past experiences, the cost has been high for where I'm at right now. And the cost has been either a relationship or the quality of the relationship that I desire, or the openness or the transparency of the relationships that I desire, or the boundaries that I desire to set, but don't maybe know how to, or fall back into pattern. So like how to really get out of that. But before that, and before Tony Robbins, it became also very evident that what we've taught over the last 4.5, almost five years through the creative agency is very much aligned with heart, spirit, purpose, passion. Mm-hmm. And that is very different than you creating a billboard or like redeveloping someone's website because there's not enough traffic, you know, or giving a brand a facelift. Like, we are the brand doctors. So we go in and we assess the brand as a whole. And with that, we truly are doctors. We like go in and we assess the heartbeat of the brand. Does this still connect with you? If it doesn't connect with you, it sure as hell doesn't connect with your audience. You can't expect anything less, right? And so they are all very aligned. And so to my point is, Julie, how do you, what we know, what you do and what you have done, and then how you want to serve the world. How do you want to serve the world?
I mean, it doesn't have to be the podcast, but through a platform that, the times that I guess like fill my bucket or that this specific bucket up the most is when I'm, you know, chatting on Insta stories and I get all these DMs about, because I've been open about my divorce and my anxiety and how I take Zoloft every day and how I used to have this fear of flying where I couldn't even get on the plane, or I get like all these things that people relate to. So I guess it's going back to, I don't want to sound cheesy, but like not inspiring, but kind of just like, I guess it is inspiring other people, or like letting them know they're not alone. Or I want to like, it's confusing for me because I want to share this real side of me, these fears, these anxieties, my divorce, all this stuff. But I also like, I'm a shit show. Like I say fuck every word. I drink so much fucking wine. I drink Diet Coke. I'm probably dying from it. I like to be funny and, you know, so I want to combine, and it's weird because I feel like my personality sometimes can maybe be seen not as inauthentic, but I have this one side of me that's very deep and thrives on deep conversations and connection. Literally a deep conversation with a guy for me is foreplay. Like, don't even do any, just give me like a good, like it's literally the conversation. But then on the other side of me, I'm like playful and funny and animated and whatever, but they're both real. They're just opposite, but maybe not opposite.
They're not opposite. Coexist really beautifully together. You just like haven't found that recipe yet.
Exactly. Right? Maybe that's it.
Yeah. You just haven't found that recipe yet. And how you find that recipe is through truly the formula of identifying your full and truest purpose.
Right.
And the focus areas of that purpose and like kind of the navigation system of that purpose really lies in your passions. And your passions are, Julie, you know, what break your heart and what lights you up.
But they're kind of not that the divorce lights me up, but talking about it and like connection is what I thrive on.
So, but if you were to talk divorce, what breaks your heart is anyone that is maybe in a relationship and is complacent and is in a relationship but can't feel their fullest and their truest self. Maybe is in a relationship and feels like there's a filter. But in what everyone sees, and they say, oh my God, you guys are so cute together. Oh my God, you guys are going to be so great. You're so meant to be together. Why aren't you married? Or, oh my God, I'm so happy you're married. Or, oh my gosh, I totally look up to your marriage. And then that's the filter. And then you go home and you see it differently. And so what I think is really actually quite cool is you've experienced that filter. And you've also experienced the loneliness in that filter. And the inauthentic transactions that go with being filtered. And now you're offering this platform that is 100% unfiltered.
Right.
And you can be your fullest and your truest self. You can drink 17 Diet Cokes on here, say it, and people are going to think it's hilarious. They're going to hear you pouring wine in the background at 3:00 in the middle of the day and think it's awesome because of the whole premises of the podcast. But also, you know, I do truly think that it is important. And I know you and I talked about, you know, we're going to go a little deeper into this at a later date, but figuring out how both sides of Julie should and can coexist for the benefit of you making the most impact that you possibly can.
that's all I want. Like, that's all. And I think that's you, like, you hit the nail on the fucking head. Like, I've talked about it before that I feel like these two sides of me sometimes clash when they shouldn't. Like, they shouldn't.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Not at all.
Oh my God. I feel like this is like, fuck. I can't wait to set up another call. Now we really need to work together.
You
have a gift. Like Allie, like you, not only you're so smart and you can tell just how you run your company and everything, but you have you always been this insightful and this, is it because you've been through a lot of therapy? I mean, I know you've been through a lot of stuff. Have you been to therapy or is this just you? I mean, you know, you really are insightful.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at a young age, I really experienced a lot of things that like a child just shouldn't experience. And mm-hmm. So I studied it. I internalized it and I brought it into my adult years, but I studied it. I studied why people did the things that they did to me, you know, mm-hmm. why my dad wasn't as present as I know that he desired to be, but just wasn't. And, you know, why my mom really didn't find a true partner until I was almost out of the house. And those were the years that shaped me, or should shape or do shape, you know, humans. And so I studied a lot of that and I saw a lot of things and I met a lot of people and I was exposed to a lot. And, I think, you know, a lot of people hear more of my story, which I am totally an open book, but I think a lot of people hear more of my story, but your past really does shape everything. Mm-hmm. And with that, there's a decision. And yeah. You have to just decide that your circumstance doesn't define you, that you can actually in your adult years reshape your inner child if you decide to, and sharing those experiences over opinion on politics and movements and pandemic and all these other things going on, it allows people to know you and hear you and receive you so much better than sharing the opinion that again still comes from, or the job title, the thing that right. you do, which still, again, stems from your past. Mm-hmm. And so I overcame, and I continue to overcome through sharing and through right. exercising with others on how to share and how to lean into those experiences and say, those may have been the things that wounded me, but they are the things that actually have shaped me. And right. the exposure that your audience and your network and your community has to that.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. and how to get past any kind of emotion or resistance to sharing that. And so, yeah, you're not totally wrong in the fact that it is a little bit like therapy as well.
Yeah, it's totally therapy.
Yeah.
But like in an amazing way, because it all is connected. Connective consulting, but it's all connected. But it takes maybe someone like you and a company like you, a person like you, to connect those dots, because I can't fucking connect them.
Yeah.
So
I think the best compliment I've ever gotten from, you know, a friend and a client is, and other people will say this and vouch for it, is that our agency really is a mirror. Mm-hmm. And it's like the mirrors that you like, you know, the ones that have the good lighting, the yep. ones that they show you actually how you really are, but you see it differently than the fluorescent, mm-hmm. right? Like the fluorescent mirrors or the dim lighting, you don't see all of it maybe, or the fluorescent where you're just like, God, I look awful. Is that really how I look?
Right.
No one, I'm not going to take a picture of myself. You know, we hold up the mirror that you really like to look at. And right. It's like the perfect angles and it's you. And I'm not making, we're not, you know, we're not molding you into the person that we think that you should be. We're just drawing out the aspects of you that really are going to allow for you to have the type of connection and build the type of rapport and, you know, credit that you ultimately want in order to get all of the other things in life that you want, like money, right. like impact.
Exactly. And that's, and what it's so, and you, so you're, you, when you talk about the mirror, it, but it's also like you're holding this amazing, you know, the mirror that makes you feel your best up, but it also, you can tell it's coming from such an authentic, passionate, real place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can feel it. Like, mm-hmm. I hope people listening, I think they'll be able to feel it yeah. even just listening to this whole conversation. Yeah. And it's pretty powerful and it's pretty fucking amazing. And I want to keep talking, but before, so I want to ask you one more thing and yeah. then ask where people can follow you. And then we're going to do an extra little like minute of my quick fire round mm-hmm. that goes to my Patreon members. Oh, but I want to yeah. wrap the general, you know, not the general, but like everyone who can hear this now, because I think you're going to have a really good one. What is your favorite what motto or quote or something of that nature do you try to live by every day? Like, if there's one thing you can leave everyone with right now that's kind of helped you or shaped you, what would you say?
I mean, it's the quote that I began with. It's lead with who you are over what you do. Mm-hmm. It's lead with who you are over what you do, and hear that, right? Lead with who you, all capital letters, who you are over what you do. Mm-hmm. And if you yeah. have purpose and you have a why, you become the offering. All caps, you.
Oh my God, that's so good. If you have a purpose and the why, you become the offering.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fucking good. God, this whole conversation, like I feel like I just had therapy. Literally just feel like I had therapy on my own podcast.
Just kidding.
No, you are beyond, like, I just want to go have a glass of wine with you right now and just chat for the next 5 hours. Because I mean, you're amazing. Tell everyone, thank you. I mean, first tell everyone where they can follow you and where they can reach Connective yeah. Consulting and all.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at Ali Nauta, AlyNauta. And then you can follow Connective Consulting as well. And it's just spelled like it sounds. Our website is connected to really both my personal and the business platform. And or you can always just shoot me an individual email, and that's at connectiveconsultingchicago@gmail.com. So and spelled it like it sounds. I know it's like lots of C's and it's really long, but just make sure there's typos in there. Sometimes that happens, but yeah.
I'll put it all in the description too. And she means, she totally, say that again.
I said, yeah, connectiveconsulting@gmail.com, but yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And she also, she means it when Ali says, like, you can email me, like, she gave me her cell phone number the first time we talked. Like, she means it, that you can email her and it directly.
Yeah. I mean, there, and I also meant it when I said there really is no disconnect between what I do and, you know, my heart. So I just right. love connecting with people like you, Julie. You're such an incredible human being, and this is really 2 hours deep of us ever having conversations in our life.
Right.
I just feel like you're a friend mate, a soul mate, friend mate.
I'm gonna cry. I love you. Thank yeah. you so much.
Of course.
I'm gonna like move to Chicago and be friends with
you. I know.
So, okay. Thank you. So first, thank you so much for, from the bottom of my heart, this could be definitely the most powerful conversations I've had in 86 episodes on it. Usually it doesn't go the personal. Like, I you know, people ask me questions and that's fine, but it never has gone this deep, and it's amazing. And you're just incredible. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me, Julie. I appreciate it.
Of course.
And there you have it. Did you guys love it as much as I did? I mean, I was just blown away. I think Allie is so inspiring, so insightful, and just smart. If you are looking for a creative agency for your personal brand, I highly recommend reaching out to Connective Consulting, reaching out to Allie directly. I'm also happy to connect you if you want to reach out to me. I'm blown away by what she has built and her story. So I hope you love this episode. Be sure to follow her. As always, you can follow me at By Julie Lauren on everything. And again, check out patreon.com/JulieLauren if you want those extra perks. Thank you so much, as always, for listening, and I'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.